As many KSUT listeners know, Myanmar, also known as Burma, experienced a military overthrow of its democratically elected government on February 1st, including Aung San Suu Kyi, the elected official there, the elected leader, and her government. Today, I'm speaking with Wade Griffith, the executive director of the Durango-based Shanta Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to supporting the sustainable economic development of individuals and communities in Myanmar. Wade, thanks so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, and thank you, to KSUT for the support that you give to the local nonprofits here in Durango. It makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Well, I reached out to you, Wade, right now. I've been aware of the great work of Shanta Foundation for many years, but again, as I just mentioned, right now it's a pretty precarious time in Myanmar. It's very far away from Southwest Colorado, and yet partially because of news coverage, such as NPR's, folks are really aware of what's going on there right now. Shanta has worked intimately with remote villages over in Myanmar for many years now. Curious, what are you hearing from your counterparts on the ground in Myanmar, and how is the coup impacting them?
Well, I'm grateful that we can stay in communication due to technology with our staff. We have about 25 folks working on the ground there, some remarkable, courageous people that really have given their lives to helping people living in extreme poverty, not just poverty, extreme poverty, desperate poverty, helping them lift themselves out of that situation. So we have a fabulous team. We have heard from them that they're safe. As you can imagine, they're scared, they're angry, they're alarmed that the military has once again seized power from the elected leaders there, in particular Aung San Suu Kyi and President U Win Myint. And they're seeing mass protests. Right now, the protests are largely peaceful. As of today, the newest form of protest is that common people are driving their cars to major intersections in the largest cities and getting out of their cars, putting their hoods up and saying, my car's broken down, and blocking all traffic so that civil servants and the military can't move their people around, and just trying to encourage everyone. What they're calling it is a civil disobedience movement. It was started by healthcare workers, but now they're trying to recruit police, teachers, engineers, railway staff, bank staff, and particularly civil servants to walk off their jobs and to boycott. And mostly this has gone peaceful, but there have been incidences in the last couple of days where metal pellets have been used. You know, it's kind of a harsher form of a rubber bullet, water cannons. So there are people being injured now as a result of these civil disobedience activities.
Something you said made me curious, that the healthcare workers were some of the first to really commence with the civil disobedience. Is that tied to COVID at all, or just simply obviously for care for the well-being of the communities over there?
I think they're trying to paralyze the whole civil society. I think that people that are protesting there are trying to bring the country to a stop. For the most part, Myanmar doesn't have access to the vaccines yet. They had been promised them by China and India. And we don't really know yet how what's happened in the last week will affect those promises. It may be different based on the political agendas of those two countries. But for now, the healthcare workers it hasn't really been connected to COVID. And I don't know why they were the tip of the spear, so to speak, in terms of trying to rally. Maybe just because the spotlight in our whole world right now is on healthcare workers and they have such visibility. But they were some of the first ones to say, hey, we need to boycott and try to bring the country to a halt and to try to bring as much international attention to what's going on here. Because their elected leaders were removed.
I know a lot of the work that Shanta does is out in remote villages and remote parts of the country, whereas it sounds like at least up until recently, at least, a lot of the focus of the civil disobedience has been in the Capitol and other major cities. For the folks that you work with out in the villages, are there any direct impacts, or are they busy just trying to keep themselves fed and you know, rise above poverty?
Well, we are seeing civil disobedience extend now out of the very largest cities. You know, for our work, we do work among the most remote, isolated villages of subsistence farmers whose lives are very precarious without a pandemic and without a coup. These are folks who have to borrow money to plant their food, and if the crop doesn't come in, they lose it. I mean, they live in absolute and desperate poverty. And so we work in those remote areas, which are somewhat removed from what's going on. But it makes it difficult for our staff and team to do their work when there's military checkpoints, or a new law was passed just this week that said you can't have meetings of more than five people. So the attention and the fear, the crackdown on people gathering, when markets are shut down, where our farmers might sell their crops, just imagine people who are barely hanging on, and suddenly some of the few things that they have to rely on are stripped away. It's a much more desperate situation now for the people that we serve. And thankfully, the founders of Shanta, Mike and Tricia Karpfen, amazing visionaries that live here in Durango, designed our organization to be one that equips local people to do the development work. So as a result of that, there's some resilience built into it, that we don't have to be there every day, all day, because we begin our work by training them to be, you might say, lay economic development specialists for their own villages. It's really amazing. But this is hindering us, and we have to always be thinking about the safety of our teams. You know, it's such a fluid situation, Tammy, that we have to look at it every single day and say, is it safe for our teams to go out to the villages?
Is there, what are the best ways, Wade, right now, if folks are listening and they may or may not have been aware of Shanta's work before hearing this conversation, what's the best way that folks could support Shanta Foundation's efforts right now, especially in this precarious time in those remote villages where you and your staff are working so hard in Myanmar?
Well, one of the sad dynamics that happens in a situation like this is that casual observers or people that just read the headlines say, oh, Myanmar, terrible government, or whatever assessment people make. And then they think, well, then I don't want to be involved there but what I would point out to folks is that the government is very different than the people. And we're serving the people. We're in solidarity with common people. We don't coordinate with the government. We don't work with the government. We work directly out in the villages. And this is a time where we have to lean in. And I just brag on Durango as being on the map. It's amazing. Durango's on the international NGO map because of Shanta and the Karpfens founding our organization. So I would ask people to go to our website, shantafoundation.org. I know that's not a term people are super familiar with. So it's S-H-A-N-T-A foundation.org. And get involved with us, because our involvement there now is so important, because it gives us visibility. Like, you're asking me, what are our people seeing? Well, we're able to see without filter what's happening on the streets through the people there. And that's really important when a government is doing what's going on over there, is that the international community has some visibility and can see what's happening and respond to what's happening. But secondly, we really have to bolster the work of our staff and our villagers who are living such desperate lives. And these truly are the least of these types of folks who, they live in extreme poverty. Myanmar is often ranked as the poorest country in Asia. So we would love for people to partner with us. You know, it could be just a monthly pledge to be a part of helping people lift themselves out of poverty. And that's what we do. We don't do the work. We equip local people and train local people to pursue their dreams. It's community-led work, which is a little different. We don't tell them what to do. It's inclusive and sustainable. So we would love for people to go to shantafoundation.org and get involved and help us make sure that we stand with the people of Myanmar during this time of crisis that they're experiencing from the government.
Well, thanks so much, Wade, for all of your hard work and your staff's hard work, not only previously, before there was a military coup in Myanmar, and but especially right now for all the great work you're doing for the folks over in Myanmar that really need your support and help, and also for just what a great sustainable model of self-sufficiency that Shanta has built in. In case you've just joined us, Tammy Graham speaking with Wade Griffith. He's the executive director of Shanta Foundation, a local Durango-based nonprofit that's focused on sustainable economic development work in remote areas of Myanmar, also known as Burma, which just recently has experienced a military coup, and Wade and his team are diligently working overtime, I'm sure, right now to support and make sure their efforts are being felt and they're attentive to the needs of those that they serve in Myanmar. Thanks again, Wade, so much for all your work and your time today.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you, Tammy.